I'm in Proverbs chapter number 26, and I'm going to read a few verses this morning, and what the Lord had me share this morning, a little bit different. Now one of the things that are trending, which trending is trending, one of the things that's trending is Father's Day. This Father's Day are dad jokes. Oh yeah. Those are jokes that my dad did that years before it became popular, all right? But it's jokes that are so bad that they're kind of funny. I even know one church in our area, and it's awesome. I think it's cool. I wish I'd have thought about it. But they're having a dad joke contest this morning. Every dad stands up and goes until they run out of jokes. Isn't that awesome? I'm kind of sad I'm not involved in that because that is right up my alley. I love those things. I get into that. Like, what time do you go to the dentist? At 2:30. See, they're so bad, they're funny, right? You know about the guy that invented Lifesavers candies? He made a mint. Okay, rough crowd. All right, yeah. You know why they call chicken coops? You know why they have two doors, right? Because if they had four doors, they'd be a chicken sedan, right? Yeah, right? Brother Scott dreamed he was a muffler all night. He woke up exhausted. See? Isn't it good? Never mind. All right, we'll go on. All right. Don't ever buy Velcro. It's a ripoff. Okay, we really will go on. All right, anyways, all right. I guess that's what you mean by dad jokes. But I want to preach this morning a message that goes with that I've entitled this. Be a dad, be a joke-telling dad, but don't be a joke of a dad. In Proverbs chapter number 26, if you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures just in respect to the word of God. In verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 26, and in verse number 1, it says this, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of the drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Let's stop there. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for the word of God this morning. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you just help me to get this thought across that you gave to me this week. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would rejoice today and give honor to whom honor is due. And Lord, we love you. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. So again, this morning, I want to preach to you today on be a joke-telling dad, but do not be a joke of a dad. You'll see here in verse number 1 in our text, it says, as snow in summer. Now, how often do we see snow in summer? Gotta don't say rain in summer, because we see that a lot, all right? But as snow in summer, or as rain in harvest, and especially in Israel, how that applied. But it said, so honor is not seemly for a fool. In other words, as common as it would to have a blizzard in July, should be about as common as it would be to give honor to a fool. In verse number 8, it says this, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling. Now, again, everybody understand what a slingshot's for, right? Remember David killed the giant with a sling? Now, what would have happened if he would have bound that stone in the sling and it would never have left the sling? nothing. It's useless. A slingshot is useless if the stone doesn't come out. Does that make sense? And the Bible says, as again, there in verse number 8, it says, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Today we give honor to our fathers. It's a great and wonderful thing to do. I taught on our bus every week the last few months. I've been doing an object lesson. I hold up an object and teach a lesson that on the bus. And today's object was me. And they all looked at me. And I told them that, you know, I was a picture of a father. And I am a father. But I told them, more importantly, why God in heaven chose to go by that name. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And all that a father does for us. Today we honor fathers, especially those who have done right. Because the Bible warns us about giving honor to a fool. And none of us are perfect, huh, dads? We've all messed up. We've all fallen on our face. We've all done things we regret. That is absolutely true. I'm not saying you give honor to a perfect dad. There's no such thing. But please, dads, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. So what? How is a dad? How can a dad be a fool? It's in the passage here. Let's look at it real quick in verses 9 through 11. A man that chooses to be sinful is a fool. It says in verse number 9, it says, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Again, parable meaning a deep lesson, a strong lesson that will help you in your life. Again, someone who is a drunkard, they lose their sensitivity. They lose their ability to react to hurt or to react to the feeling, if you will. And that's what a drunkard does. And the Bible says that a fool is someone who hears the truth, who hears preaching, who hears spiritual lessons, but has no interest in it. It doesn't affect them at all. It has no place in their life. They are spiritually insensitive. In verse number 10, it says there, it says, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Someone who is living a sinful life, they are referred to as a fool in that they are spiritually insensitive, but also that they are living under, you know, they don't have God's blessing on their life. They, as it says there in verse number 10, that great God that formed all things, he rewards the fool. Now that isn't a prize. There isn't a prize for being a foolish person. No prize that you'll want to put on a shelf, I'll tell you that. But it says here, rewarded the fool and rewarded transgressors. In other words, I can say this on the positive, it pays to serve God. But on the negative side, if we live the way of transgressors, it is a hard life. It is a difficult life. It is a struggle in life. I'm not saying you won't have moments of pleasure. Matter of fact, in sin there are seasons of pleasure, but it ends in destruction. And a fool is someone who will sit in church but never grow. He'll hear lessons, but he doesn't think it applies to him. And he goes on and lives his life, and he misses out on the blessings of God. In verse number 11, as a dog returneth to its vomit, so a fool returns to its folly. A fool is someone who keeps going back to their sin over and over and over again, even though all it ever leaves is a mess. Peter talked about the same thing that this proverb speaks of, how that we as Christians shouldn't be like this dog that goes back. And, you know, everyone understands that picture. It's quite disgusting. You know, our dog that we have now hasn't done this, and I'm thankful for that. Our previous dog, Snickers, that we had, loved Snickers. He was a good dog, too. Snickers, he would do it all the time. He would sit there in the backyard. Snickers, isn't that a perfect dog name for a chocolate lab, huh? Yeah, now you understand, all right? You know, I was mowing the grass that one day, and he just saw that look in his face, you know? And all of a sudden, he started doing that, right? And then he's just like, blah, 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 everywhere. And I'm just like, oh, and I'm driving the mower. And then he's like, and he's sitting there, and I looked over there, and he's eating it. Oh, disgusting, right? And if you leave here today, dads, and go out and live like the world and act like the world and cuss and curse and drink and smoke and act like them and talk like them and involve yourself like them, you're doing the same thing. God saved you from that. Why go back to it? Why go back to those things? You see, today we're here today to honor fathers. And there are praiseworthy fathers. Those are those who are filled with the Spirit of God, who love spiritual things, who forsake sin, the exact opposite of what we just read about here. Those who are spiritually insensitive, those who are full of sorrow, those keep going back to a sickly life. Say, I don't want that life. How can I avoid that life? Well, number one, be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I encourage you right now, today's the day of salvation. Yes. Ask the Lord to save you. He will save you. He promised that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise from God. If you believe in Him, He will give you eternal life. Thankful for that today. You cannot be a spiritual father without being saved. I didn't say you couldn't be a good father. You can be a decent father. But you can't be a spiritual father, or you can't lead your children in God's way unless you're first saved. So you need to be saved today. And then, dads, study. Get in the Word of God. Study this book. I've done a lot of premarital counseling in the last few months. A lot of people get married. Cheyenne and Jason are getting married Friday. And I met with them this past week. I'll meet with them again today. And, but one of the things that I've looked at and talked to everybody that I do counseling with, we always play a game. I always like this game. And I give them numbers 1 through 5, and they each have to hold up a number, how it applies to them. And then I always ask this question, 1 being I totally disagree with this, 5, I totally agree with this statement. And one of the questions I always ask is this: whoever is the most spiritual should be the spiritual leader in the home. And they always raise their answers, and then I always usually correct it because they're wrong. Dad, you should be the spiritual leader in your home. So my wife knows more about spiritual things than I do. That's fine. Matter of fact, that's great. But get in the book. And it doesn't relieve you of your excuse to be the spiritual leader in your home. Be a spiritual leader. And the only way you can do that is by studying the Word of God. And then, dads, another way you can do this is by serving. Get active in serving God. Find a place to serve the Lord. Live a separated life. So I want to be, my goal is to be, a dad that is just. A dad that's filled with the Spirit. He's praiseworthy. Today, we praise dads, and we should. But I want to be a praiseworthy dad that is filled with the Spirit, fulfilled in spiritual things, forsake sin. I don't want to be a sinful dad who's spiritually insensitive and full of sorrow and living a sick life. A second thing that gives a distinguishing here is in verse number 12. There are some fathers who are not, they're a joke of a dad when they're smug. They're full of pride. In verse number 12, it says this: seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. A man today that is smug, that is, as it says in verse number 12, a man that's wise in his own conceit. In other words, I'm fine. And we sit in church and no message ever gets to me because I'm fine. I don't need it. My life's okay. That may be for someone else, but not for me. They ignore the message. They make excuses every time something's preached on. And they rationalize their own sin and their own life, even though the Bible says otherwise. But they're the exception for some reason. No, you're a man, as verse number 12 says, that is wise in your own conceit. In Proverbs 16 and verse number 18, pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. A man that is wise in his own conceit always thinks that he knows more, that he is smarter, that this book doesn't apply to him. The Bible says there in verse number 12 that there is more hope of a fool than of him. Not just God done speaking to you, you know, how awful it is to be a fool, but there's more hope for a fool than a man wise in his own conceit. Now, why is that? Because a man wise in his own conceit doesn't want to care, doesn't want to listen, because he's already got it figured out. My life's this way. You're wasting your breath. I'm the exception. I'm okay. I don't need that. At least a fool can be taught something. At least a fool, there's ignorance there. A conceited man is someone who doesn't care because they don't want to hear it. I don't want to be a smug father. I want to be praiseworthy today. I want to be polite. I want to listen. I want to know that God's still working on me. And God still is working on me. Now, again, I think most every dad in this room can tell a joke. That's what dads are good at. But don't be a joke of a dad. And we are a joke of a dad when our life is full of sin and we're not praiseworthy, or we're very smug, we're not humble. Number three, a joke of a dad is someone who is slothful, lazy. Verses 13 to 16 says there, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. In other words, he knows there's issues, but he ain't going to do anything about it. Very little action. You see that here? I mean, it's one thing if I said, you know, get the picture here, right? We don't live in that day anymore. There's no lions roaming the streets. Are we all thankful for that, right? Although it'd be kind of cool. There was one in Blanchester when I first moved there. That's a whole other story. That don't happen anymore. They don't walk down the road. But if there was, I'll just give you a little equivalent to that, all right? Let's say that, there's a rabid dog outside of my house. There's a cute dog outside my house right now, but he's not rabid, all right? And there's a rabid foaming at the mouth, right? It could hurt you and kill you, right? Don't know where the dog came from, just roamed in my front yard, and I'm sitting on the recliner, and I said, kids, there's a rabid dog that would kill us outside. No, that's it. That's all I got, all right? Because that's what a slothful man does. He knows there's things out there that can hurt his family, but he didn't do anything. Hey, a lion's in the way. But, you know, I'm not going to go out there. I might get hurt. I might get scratched. I might break a sweat. That's not what a good dad does. Amen? A father is someone who would take action to defend his family. A father is someone who will not only see the dangers that are out there, but will do his best to defend his family from the dangers that are out there. A good father will build barriers and walls around his family. A good father will go and chase off the enemy and fight the enemy if need be. A good father will get out and, if you will, kill the lion. Chase the lion away. Because that's what a good father does. A praiseworthy father is someone who doesn't just see a problem, but is active in getting rid of the problem. Dad, sitting on the recliner and being upset that your kids are doing this, or being upset that your family's not stable, and doing nothing about it, you're being lazy. And it says there in that verse, in verse number 13, there's little action. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion's in the street. Not just little action, but little is accomplished. In verse number 14, it says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. I love that illustration. Because what that gives you a picture of, Zach, you're in the back. Stand up real quick, Zach. All right. Go to that back door. I'm going to teach you something. Teach you a proverb today, all right? Ready? All right, ready, Zach? Push the door open and let it shut. Let it shut. Ah, you're a living proverb, everyone. Do it again, Zach. No one's even looking at you, Zach, all right? He's a good-looking guy. Look at him, right? Good. Nice. One more time, Zach. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful man upon his bed. Now, let me ask you a question. Ready? Is the door moving? Yes. Is it getting anywhere? It's moving. but it's going nowhere. Do it again, Zach. Ah, isn't that amazing, right? You can be seated, Zach. That's what a slothful person does. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're never... Some of the most lazy people in the world are busy, but they never get anything done. They never get anything accomplished. They start, and then they come back. They step forward, then they go back. They think they want to do something, then they quit. They never get anywhere in life. You see the proverb? Moving, but quitting. Stepping, stepping back. A praiseworthy father today, one who we give honor to, is someone who sees dangers in his family's life and attacks them, removes them, defends his family. Someone who we honor today is a daddy who isn't just busy and, I use this, phrase with my wife on days that, I don't really want to do anything. Like, what are you going to do? I'm just going to go tinker around, right? Anybody else have a tinker around? That means leave me alone today. I'm not going to really do much, but I'm going to look like I am. That's what that proverb talks about, right? Someone who moves. I don't want to be that kind of dad who gets little accomplished. I want to, ready? Look at me, dads. I want to be a provider. I want to defend my family and provide for my family. And I'm not just talking about, yes, putting food on the table, but I mean being what my family needs me to be. Providing their strength and security, their hope, their joy. A slothful dad is someone with little action, little accomplished, but a whole lot of complaining. Look at verse number 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. A lot of complaining. A praiseworthy dad doesn't complain. I'm thankful my dad didn't teach me to complain. I can't tell you how many times things weren't right, things weren't perfect, and my dad said, so, do it anyways. Go on. I mean, yeah, in our family, it just the way we were, right? If you could have served, still to this day I'm this way. You can bring, I'll give you an illustration, just thought of it. We had been married 2 years, and we're at a restaurant, and he brought me a salad, and there was a dead fly right in the middle of my salad. You don't understand, this is the way I am. I was just like, that is disgusting. And I ate it, the salad, not the fly, right? My wife said, send it back. I was like, nah. Now, you may be totally different. That's fine. That's not a sin to send it back, right? That's great, all right? But I was just the way I was. No one else stayed to help. Do it yourself then. It's just not, not convenient. Well, God has a lesson for you. I mean, it's just the way I was, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the way I was. And I still am that way. I mean, I'll roll with it. Whether everything is perfect and smooth or whether this is going to be so difficult, we'll get through it. And this passage of Scripture, it talks about here that there's a lot of people who, they sit down and they eat. This is what the proverb is saying. The plate of food, delicious ribeye steak. Isn't that awesome? Ribeye steak. Oh, that's good stuff. Hot biscuit, butter on it. Big end of the season sweet corn with some butter on it and salt on it, and a little bowl of cucumbers that have been soaking in salt water that did not come from Kroger's but came from a garden. I mean, this is good stuff. And what the proverb says is this guy goes, it's just such hard work to get it to my mouth. I just can't. That's what the proverb says. It's all there, but it's just, always complaining, making excuses. Dads, don't be a whiner. Don't be a complainer. Don't be someone who always has an excuse. You may look at me today and say, you know, and I remember I warned you. Remember on Mother's Day? I warned all you men. That's why a bunch of men aren't here today, I'm sure, right? I told you on Mother's Day, don't worry, ladies, on Father's Day, I'll be getting the men. Well, I'm laying it on, man, right? Yeah. But the fact is this is what the proverb's talking about, that we, again, today's the day to give honor. Amen. But I want to be a dad who deserves that honor. Because just because you reproduced doesn't mean you deserve honor today. Be a father. Don't be a complainer. And again, don't be full of pride, as it says in verse number 16. Again, a warning, because us men are like that. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Again, why would someone be little action and not much accomplished and constantly complaining? Because they're full of pride. They don't want to get up. They don't want to get out in the way. They don't want to do these things. Let's go on. Number four. A joke of a father is a striker. Verse number 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You know, my parents have a dog, if you want to call it that, like this big. They love it, and they just listen, and my dad just got very offended that I insulted his doggy, all right? But it's one of these dogs, it's like this big, you know. That's not a dog, right? A dog needs, when someone walks to your door, a dog says, whoa, I better be careful here. That's a dog. My parents' dog says, what is that rug, all right? That's all it is, all right? It's a little bitty cotton thing running around, all right? But they love their dog. They adore their dog. The dog is treated better than us three kids ever were, to be honest. But that dog, all right? That dog, while it has a good temperament, if you walk in that house with that little bitty dog, because the ones that are the smallest ones are the ones you have to watch out for. All right? My dog will lick you to death. This little dog will, like, bite your ankles off, right? But if you go up, even though that dog is cute and gentle, you reach up there and grab that dog's ears and twist its ear, that dog's going to bite you. That dog didn't want to bite you, but you asked for it. That's what the proverb is saying. Again, look in verse number 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. A joke of a dad is someone who's always looking for a fight, trying to pick a fight, things that don't belong to him. Always looking for a reason to yell at somebody to look macho. I believe every man should be a man. I hope you understand what I mean by that. We live in a society today that's becoming very effeminate, and I believe men should be men. And I will say this in junction to this point, that men, there are some things to fight for. You try to get in my house tonight, 3 a.m, while my family's in the bed, you will have to get past me to get to them. I will fight for them. You in some way attack my wife or derade my wife, well, you're asking for a fight. There's some things you will stand for. I'll defend God. I'll stand. Now, I'm not going around looking for a fight. My dad taught me this. I don't know how many times he said it to me growing up. But he always said this. He said, never start a fight, but always finish it. One time there was a 6th grade boy. My sister was in 5th grade. And he said some really bad things about Crystal. And I was in 9th grade. Or 8th grade, one. But he said, this 6th grade punk said some bad things about my sister. You can call me a bully, but you can get over it. I went to that 6th grade classroom, and I taught that boy not to ever say those things about my sister in a Christian school. Mm-hmm. And the principal pulled me in and said, why did you do that? I told him why I did it. He goes, next time tell me. And he let me out. That was it. Didn't get in trouble. Because the boy needed, he said some really bad things. There's some things that you fight for. But a guy that walks around all the time throwing his hand through walls, picking on people. Not a praiseworthy dad today. Someone who likes to get involved in things just to, for the sake of fighting. You know what a loving father does? You know what the right kind of father does? He loves his family, he leads his family, and he's liked by his family. Not a striker. I don't want to be a joke of a dad. I don't want to be number five. For alliteration, and I guess you'll see it, but I don't want to be a slaughterer. It doesn't mean you're killing anyone, but look at verse 18. A madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. You know what the idea there with fire, firebrands, and arrows and death is? Someone who is just causing destruction. And I'll define it in the New Testament for you. Everybody look at me here, man. Ready? Anger. A dad who's just full of anger is like a madman. I mean, Proverbs talks about it, right? When you can't control your own self, man, you're like a city without walls, right? You're out of control. You're going around, and I don't care. You can say, you know, whatever you want to say, but you're throwing stuff. You're yelling at things. You're kicking things and putting holes in walls and doors and all this other stuff. That's not what a praiseworthy father does. A praiseworthy father is someone who can control himself. I'm not saying there's not a time to raise your voice. I'm not saying there's not a time to correct. There is. That's part of your responsibilities as a father. But you don't lose your temper. You don't shoot out arrows and death and just leave a path of destruction behind you and think, I handled it. No, you just destroyed things is all you did. And I don't want to be. Again, none of us are perfect. And I'm sure every father in this room would like to go back and change some things that we've done. But I do want to be a praiseworthy dad today. Which means I got to control myself sometimes. Say, do you ever get frustrated? Yes. Do you ever get angry at things? Sure do. So what do you have to do with anger? The Bible tells us to put it away. Now there's a time to be angry at some things that we should be angry about. I'll just stop right here and say this. This month gets on my nerves so bad. All the promoting of a wicked lifestyle. Now, I love everybody. Just waiting for a month to celebrate being a born again, saved by God's grace believer. And let Walmart wear signs about it. That'd be awesome too, wouldn't it? Sorry, pet peeve. But I'm not going to get angry. Because a praiseworthy father is a prudent man. He doesn't leave hands of destruction. Number six, and I'm done. Back to the point of the message. A joke of a dad is just silly. It says in verse number 19, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? You ever done something and said something, and every man in this room would have to say yes to this? You ever said something or done something, knew it was wrong, and tried to pass it off by saying, I was just kidding? Our kids do it all the time. I mean, you know, kids walk in, Mom, Dad, brother said this, or sister said this, and what's the first thing to do? I was just kidding. Where did they learn that from? We try to pass off all of, sometimes of our faults and stuff by, well, I didn't really mean it. We're just wrong. And dads, back to the point of the message. Don't just be a joke-telling dad and never do anything serious. Being a father is a serious responsibility. And it's okay to be silly every once in a while. That's fine. Part of being a dad. But don't be a silly father. My life's just about fun and games. You know. Today everybody's building man caves and stuff, which is awesome. Please. Grill a steak, invite me over, we'll watch the Reds together. I will sit in that place and enjoy every minute of it, right? That's awesome. There's nothing wrong with having those things. Get on your motorcycle, if that's what you do, your boat, your golf course, it's awesome. Whatever it is, that's great. But understand, while there is times for those things, your life should be all about, dads, being a good, godly father. Well, I don't want to be a good, godly father. Well, then, to put it frankly, you're a joke of a dad. That's really harsh. Why would I want to, like, give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it? Like putting a stone in a sling and binding the stone. It should be about as common as snow in July. Not being mean today, I'm being challenging today. You know, when I got this message and God gave it to me, He didn't give it to me to let everybody have it at church. He gave it to me to help Travis Burke become a better father. Because there are things in this message that I needed to correct. I needed to sharpen in my life. Because I don't want to be a joke of a father. And I don't want you to be a joke of a father. So, as I told one young man yesterday, grow up. The young man looked at me and said, what do I need to do? Grow up. I've got 5 kids. Doesn't mean you're grown up. As snow in summer and as rain is harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Happy Father's Day. Let's make sure we're worthy of that by being the right kind of father. Let's pray, Father, Lord.